Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shavuos Dav Zayin, Shavuos 7b, pagination is 14. We're starting from the beginning of a line, which is right after a two dots, about 9 lines down. Yesh ba yediyah b'tchila, if a person knew about the Tumah before the improper event occurred, ve'ein ba yediyah b'sof, and he did not know about the Tumah by what he did, he didn't realize that he was in violation, sarei anaseh b'fnim, there's a specific korban on Yom Kippur that atones for that, and this is a quote from the Mishnah on the first page of the Masechta. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, we learned, v'chipar al hakodesh mitumos b'nei Yisrael, when the Pasuk in Parshas Acharemos, Tes Zayin, tells us that it will atone from the tumos of the B'nai Yisrael. So the word tumah is typically ritually impure. There's an incompatibility. The person was in touch with a dead body, and now he's trying to come to the Beis HaMikdash, which is ritually pure. So that incompatibility is going to be atoned. Says the Gemara, Yesh li b'inyan zeh, I would very well be capable on this topic, lahavi shalosh tumos, to bring 3 other things that are called tumah, and say that the korban is atoning for them. And as we know, that's not the way it works. It's atoning for classic ritual impurity, meaning coming in touch with a dead body and then going to the Beis HaMikdash. And these other things, which are called tumah, are not what our pasuk is describing atonement for. Nevertheless, there are 3 things, the Gemara says, which are called tumah, and it is worthy for us to contemplate why these things are called tumah, although the pasuk, which the Mishnah was focusing on, is talking about the classic tumah and not these other 3 things that are called tumah. Again, keep it simple. We will look to find out why these other things are called tumah. Tosfos, the first Dibur HaMashchil on the Amud, Yesh, points out that we're not looking just for things that are tumah. There are lots of things that are tumah. A person eats terumah while he is ritually impure. That's a case of tumah. That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for things in the psukim that are called lashon tumah nichtavu. They were written as the word tumah, and therefore, when in Parshas Acharemos it says that a certain korban is going to be an atonement for cases of tumah, we could theoretically contemplate. Maybe it's talking about that mitzvah, or maybe that mitzvah, or maybe the third mitzvah, independent of classic ritual impurity. And that's the wording of our Gemara, Yesh li b'inyan hazeh, I'm capable of bringing on this topic, lahavi shalosh tumos, 3 different types of tumah. Number 1, tumas avodah zarah, the fact that avodah zarah is called a tumah, v'tumas gilei arayis, the fact that gilei arayis, immoral conduct, is called a tumah, v'tumas shvichas damim, and the fact that murder is called a tumah. It has capability of bringing a tumah if it's not addressed properly. Let's look at how this plays out. The Gemara says, "Ba'avodah zarah hu omer." By avodah zarah, there's a pasuk that says it's the case of molech, case of the avodah zarah to which they brought a child. L'ma'an tamei es mikdashi, to make tumah, to bring ritual impurity upon Hashem's mikdash. And that's an example of tumah. The word tumah is used. Of course, we would want to know, why is it that the word tumah is used? What are you tumahifying? What are you causing an incompatibility with reality that you're bringing the tumah to the kodesh? What's going on? So an example of an explanation of this is the Aznayim LaTorah. Just to give an example, he says, if people will see that to the Molech they bring a child, a physical person, an offering, and in the Beis HaMikdash they never do that, they bring only animals, then a person might get the impression that the Beis HaMikdash is nice, but the Molech is the ultimate, because to that you bring a child. And that's Tameyes Mikdashi that reflects Tuma on the Beis HaMikdash. It messes up the perception. It introduces an incompatibility. Begili Arayis Omer, by immoral conduct, the end of Acharemos, so Shemartem Esperisi, Levilti Asos Mechukos HaToevos, don't do these abominations. For Lositam Ubahem, you should not become Tamei because of this. It violates the people who behave in such a way. And B'Shvichas Damim, Shvichas Damim is also a Tuma description. The word is used. Hu'alme velositameyes ha'aretz, do not cause Tuma to the land. What are you introducing to the land? What violation is going on? So if you look up the pasuk, you'll see it's after a person murdered and he's liable for capital punishment. And a person might say, why should I bother killing the murderer? I don't want you to flatter the earth, because only through the death of the murderer will atonement come. What was going on? So, just an example of the explanation, the Kol Ram from Reb Moshe Feinstein says that some people will flatter the earth. They'll talk all about Yishuv Haaretz. What is better for society's future? They're always looking to better the world. And the death of the murderer is not going to help anyone, because the murdered person is already dead. So why should I bother punishing the murderer? And that's an example of Sachanifu Es Haaretz, flattering the earth, as if the most important thing is ecology. The most important thing is the future of the world. And for that, so people died. Who cares? The future. And that's taking the moral calling out of our existence. The pasuk is saying that capital punishment does exist by a person who murdered, and it's an expression of how severe the tragedy is that a person was killed. So when people start getting merciful on the murderer, the pasuk tells them, Lo sachanifu es haaretz, don't flatter the earth and say that the earth is all that, the future of the earth, settling the earth, because there's a punishment that has to be administered here. If indeed there's proof, etc., then there's a punishment that has to be administered because of the great tragedy of the person who was killed. That would introduce a tuma to the earth, an incompatibility, a tragic introduction of impurity to the earth to hold back from the retribution in the name of Yishuv Haaretz. Yochel al gimel tumos halalu yehei sa'ir mechaper. I would think that on these three things that are called tuma, so maybe that's what the carbon of Yom Kippur is atoning. Talmud lomar mi tumos b'nei Yisrael v'lo kol tumos. Only some of the tumos are going to be atoned and not all. And the Gemara then proceeds in half an amud to explore how do we know which tumos, that it's the classic ritual impurity and not these other tumos. And the Gemara says on the next amud that it's talking about something that's matsinu shecholak hakosov, that's unique. Maicholak, what does it mean it's unique? Demaisi ba'olav yored, it's a tumah that comes to be atoned with this fluctuating the sliding scale carbon, and that's what made it unique, and unique in a lenient way. Cholak lahakel kwam rinan. I'm talking about that it's unique in a lenient way, that you could bring a lesser carbon and still get atonement, and it's on that type of violation that the carbon of Yom Kippur is going to atone if the person isn't aware that they did wrong. Whereas Avodah Zarah, Gilei Arayis, and Shvichas Damim, we never said that this carbon would atone for those things. There is one other item that's worth mentioning in this context that is used with an analogy to Tumah, and that's the statement of Rabbi Akiva at the end of Maseches Yuma, where Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisrael, how lucky is the Jewish people, just as a person who's ritually impure becomes tahar by going to mikvah, so too the Baal Tshuva, person doing tshuva, Hashem cleanses that person and accepts them in the same transformation type experience. And Rabbi Akiva is using Tumah as an example of the chote, the sinner, and the mikvah, which creates ritual purity, as the image of the person who has been atoned. And in the times when people were focused on ritual impurity, that was a very vivid example. A person who's ritually impure until he goes to mikvah, he's off limits from coming in to the Beis HaMikdash area. And he's not allowed to eat certain food, he's not allowed to come in certain places. It's reminiscent, indeed, of the words of the Rambam, that a person who has not yet done tshuva, emesh, the day before he did tshuva, he was still pushed away. And once he does tshuva, he's welcomed in. And that, too, is an example of a tuma taira type of expression. Again, our Gemara maintains that the atonement of the Yom Kippur Karban is referring specifically to the classic ritual impurity example, which is addressed by an Ola V'Yored, by the sliding scale Karban, and that is the case, Mitum Os B'nei Yisrael. From the cases of Tumah, one of them is the one being identified for atonement with this Yom Kippur Karban. Yeshe Koach, thank you for joining.